is Matt Connickson. I'm a sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHX Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Welcome to Agriculture Today on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Randy Conan. We'll also be hearing from new farm broadcaster Melissa Hammer. As of Sunday, 11% of North Dakota's corn and 3% of the soybeans were planted. The average for this date is 7% for corn and 2% for soybeans. According to the weekly crop progress report, 32% of the spring wheat is seeded and 5% of the crop is emerged. 78% of North Dakota's sugar beet crop is planted, well ahead of the 25% average for this date. Planting is 23% complete for barley, 21% for durum, and 10% for canola. Topsoil moisture is rated 79% adequate to surplus.
Farm Credit Services, Bayer Crop Science, ProSeed, Hefty Seed Company, and BASF. Field work limited in Minnesota this past week due to the rain. 88% of the topsoil is rated adequate to surplus. 42% of the corn is in the ground, and 4% has emerged. Soybean planting at 17%. 51% of Minnesota spring wheat is seeded. 18% of the crop has emerged. 62% of the state's hay crop is rated in good to excellent condition.
In South Dakota's weekly crop progress report, 18% of the corn and 10% of the soybeans are planted. Corn is 4% behind the long-term average planting pace. Soybeans are in line with average for this date. 79% of South Dakota's spring wheat is seeded, well ahead of the 54% average.
Farmers made decent planting progress in early April in the Worthington, Minnesota area. Matt Widboom says emergence has been slow.
Perfect conditions to start April. Window opened early April. Quite a bit of corn went in. A lot of that corn is almost 30 days in the ground. Starting to spike through. You dig up kernels that they're in very good shape and just need to get consistent soil temperatures closer to 60 than to 40 where they have been for the past many weeks.
And Widboom expects some soybean replants in the area.
Beans went in. A lot of people are buying into that idea of getting beans in the ground early. I think we're having more of that will be replanted than corn because a lot of that was planted first for a lot of people in early April. And some of that, those beans did come up early. We had some cases where 27-degree mornings mowed them off, so there will be some of that replanted when it's nicer. Wouldn't say a lot. There was places where the conditions were so great and all of a sudden you've got hundreds of acres planted. And so there'd be places where it could be a substantial, but as a whole, I don't think real big.
For Wolverton, Minnesota farmer Jay Nord, soil conditions so far have been good for planting. It's the wind that's been giving Nord and other farmers trouble.
Field conditions have been good, except for the wind. We had a really ugly day again yesterday, and there were a couple fields in our area that filled the ditches again. It's pretty sad to see that happening, but we did get another 3/10 of rain overnight, and hopefully it'll settle some of this down. Planting, the wheat is pretty much planted in our area. The sugar beets were planted, and but some of them were lost yesterday. Some have planted corn and beans. We have actually not planted any corn yet. We'll get going now when the rain quits. There's quite a few in our area that really haven't planted corn or very little corn. Just the cold ground was too cold.
The recent rains has the soil in much better shape than just a couple weeks ago.
A lot better shape today than we were 6 weeks ago with no snow and no moisture. We've had enough rain. Most of the tile pumps and tile lines are producing just a little bit of water. That would indicate that we filled our profile pretty well to get a good start to this crop and get it planted and get it started.
Niagara, North Dakota farmer Mike Kelly says early planting progress has been offset by rains.
We got off to a fast start. We were pretty excited about the early start, and I guess we're always thankful for rain, but I did look in my planting book this morning, and we're now sitting for day number 12 since the rain started, and we're no longer early. We're probably right on time, and we do have some wheat up that has emerged, and emergence is good. And we're thankful for the moisture, but boy, we need for it to stop raining, and hopefully the sun will come out so we can get rolling again.
And Kelly says there's not much to do but wait out the weather.
Nothing too much. You know, there's nobody that's panicking yet, but, you know, we're all sitting around waiting for the sun to come out, and hopefully this rain today and last night will be the end of it now for a while. And, you know, everybody wants to get back to work, and so that's kind of where we're sitting.
Rain continues to keep farmers out of the field. A Grand Forks-based AsgroDeKalb technical agronomist Derek Pruitt doesn't think a whole lot of corn and soybean got planted in his territory before the rain.
So for corn and soybeans, I was kind of encouraging people to hold off a little bit. So I know that a fair amount of wheat and sugar beets got in the ground, but I don't think we got very much corn or soybeans in the ground. And I think in most cases that's probably better. That ended up being a little bit cooler and lasting longer than we thought. So we'll see how it ends up.
Pruitt expects field conditions to improve rapidly once the rains end.
We've got really good equipment to where we can go pretty quick, and, you know, something comes up, we'll just be prepared for it, I guess. You know, I mean, be patient, wait for the field to be ready, but when they're ready, go, I guess would be all I would say. I think we're to that point in time where, you know, I'm not going to tell too many people they need to back off. You know, right now we're sitting at a medium risk for a planting, but I think that's just looking at the 10-day. I think our 10-day looks pretty good, so I think we're going to be in a pretty good spot.
That was Crop Watch, sponsored by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Bayer Crop Science, ProSeed, Hefty Seed Company, and BASF.
Lower financial outlook has farmers' sentiment down to the lowest level since 2022, according to Purdue University CME Group's Ag Economy Barometer. The barometer fell 15 points to March to a reading of 99. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The Minnesota AgriGrowth Council has named its new executive director. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Melissa Hammer has the story.
Darren Broughton has spent the past 25 years at the cross-section of communications, policy, and politics. Broughton is now with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency and has previous experience in the Attorney General's office and the Thunheim Consulting Firm. Broughton says AgriGrowth has a role as an advocate for Minnesota's agriculture.
Ag community can either be in the driver's seat and helping drive these changes in the conversations, or they can be in the back seat. And I think what happens if we're in the back seat, then we are going to have things thrust upon us versus being a proactive, thoughtful convener, problem solver to help address multiple challenges that are going on.
Broughton said the challenges facing agriculture range from the farm economy to water quality issues. Broughton will succeed Tamara Nelson, who is retiring. This is farm broadcaster Melissa Hammer reporting for the Red River Farm Network.
The Canadian Food Inspection Agency has created more requirements when importing dairy cattle from the U.S. This is in response to the first confirmed case of highly pathogenic avian influenza in a dairy herd in late March. Since April 29th, breeding cattle have been required to have milk tested and a negative test to cross the border. Farmers must also be willing to voluntarily test asymptomatic cattle as well.
According to NDSU livestock marketing specialist Tim Petrie, 2024 calf prices will be affected by calf supplies, corn prices, and fed cattle prices. Lower retention rates from last year will create a smaller calf crop this fall. The volatility of the corn market will also play a big role in prices. Petrie says price fluctuation will continue, and setting price floors using futures or livestock risk protection can help to lower risk.
Minnesota's agriculture was folded into one large omnibus Senate bill. Minnesota Farm Bureau Federation Director of Public Policy Pierce Bennett thinks the ag portion of that bill should be okay in the House Senate's conference committee.
Yeah, I think we're okay. So, you know, as you're referencing, the agriculture bill has been included with the energy and commerce bills as we think about a conference committee. And so obviously that brings a variety of partners to the table from a legislative perspective. But we have strong partners across the board at the state capitol who are aware of and working with Farm Bureau and other industry partners on ag issues. So certainly the more people in the room and the more topics to discuss, the more work there is to do. But we feel very strong in our position as ag on the issues that we care about, that we'll see a really good end to this session.
With USDA dropping the release of key NAS reports last month, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack is looking toward Congress for answers.
October 1 comes, no budget, a continuing resolution. So the expectation is that you continue to do business, which you do. November comes and you do more studies, and December comes and you do more studies, and you're spending resources, and you're doing studies that are due in October, November, December. Now, if they had passed the same budget on October 1st, we would have had the entire year to make adjustments.
Secretary Vilsack says Congress' inability to pass a budget on time led to the dropped reports.
In the NAS budget itself, it wasn't they actually got a flatline budget, they actually got a cut. So the overall budget for USDA, then in NAS, there was a cut, a significant reduction. There's not much option. You don't have much option. So it would be helpful, you know, for Congress to pass the budget on time.
The Sydney Sugars facility at Sydney, Montana is being sold at auction. The sugar beet processing plant is owned by American Crystal Sugar Company and shut down over a year ago. Sealed bids are due June 26th.
The National Agricultural Genotyping Center on the campus of North Dakota State University has developed a rapid test to detect Group 14 herbicide resistance in kochia and pigweeds. NDSU Extension weed specialist Joe Eichley says the test is now available for public submissions of kochia samples. In addition to testing for Group 14 PPO inhibiting resistance in kochia and pigweeds, the Genotyping Center offers DNA tests for resistance to glyphosate, Group 9, and ALS inhibitors Group 2. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. According to USDA economist Brad Kenner, ag imports for the fiscal year are up from last year, with exports down nearly 6%.
Agricultural exports for fiscal year to date, October through March 2024, $94.4 billion, down 6% from the previous year. Agricultural imports through March 2024 were $101.3 billion, up 2% from the previous year.
The trade deficit is lower than last year.
For a trade deficit of $6.9 billion, which is down $8.2 billion from the surplus of last year.
According to a new report from American Farm Bureau Federation economist Daniel Munch, crop insurance remains a critical risk management tool for farmers. Crop insurance expenses for the next 10 years are forecast at $124 billion. That represents one-tenth of 1% of total projected federal spending. The report indicates there are gaps in coverage for certain crops, specifically specialty crop production. Taking a look at the futures numbers here before we let you go on this Tuesday afternoon, July wheat Minneapolis down 8 cents on the day, 717 and a half. September Minneapolis wheat down 7 and 3 quarters to 723 even. July wheat Chicago down 7 and a quarter cents, 641 and a half. Kansas City winter wheat's July contract down 10 and 3 quarter cents, 664 and a half. July corn down 2 cents to 467. September corn down 3 quarters of a penny to 476 even. December corn down 3 quarters of a penny as well, 487 and 3 quarters. July soybeans down 3 quarters of a cent, 1248. August soybeans up half a cent, 1246 and a half. November soybeans up 8.5 cents to 1228 and a quarter. In Winnipeg, July canola up $6.40 per metric ton to 667 and a half Canadian. Live cattle, June up 75 cents on the day, 177.72. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.